You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning and welcome to Matinair on Air. Jane Matinair, Greg Bach, Calvin Butenoff, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same. It's 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. It's Monday, March 3rd. Welcome to March. As of today, the average price of a gallon of 2% milk in Wisconsin, $3.20. That's up 3 cents since Friday. The average price of a dozen large eggs in Wisconsin, $6.23. That's up 12 cents from Friday.
When I win, I will immediately bring prices down starting on day one.
We have a really, really busy show coming up for you today. Coming up after the 10:30 news, Corey Hartman is going to be here. He is Civic Media's Vice President of Broadcast Operations, but he's also the owner of Severe Studios and knows weather.
Yes.
The man knows weather. He knows weather systems. And in case you missed it, I believe the Trump administration fired 1,800 people from NOAA, the National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration. So Corey Hartman's going to be joining us to talk about what that means for us.
Yes. This is so frustrating. Like I want Corey to speak from his chest about this. I want people to listen about how this will affect everyone, including people in Wisconsin.
Absolutely.
We don't want our weather privatized.
No. Do you want to have to pay for forecasts?
No. Do you want your networks to have to pay for forecasts, thus doing other things to cover those costs? Yeah. I'm really, really angry about this.
Greg is a little testy about
this. I'm spicy today.
Corey Hartman is going to be joining us after the 10:30 news to talk about the ramifications of all of these firings at NOAA. After the 11 o'clock news, we were supposed to do Beyond the Cheese today. Unfortunately, our guest has had to reschedule from the Weinbrenner Shoe Company. Been in Wisconsin for a long time making shoes. So we're going to reschedule with that. After 11 o'clock, this, I think, might have fallen under the radar a little bit. The Tate brothers are back in the United States.
Oh, great.
Andrew Tate, who's apparently very close with Barron Trump.
He's 38. That kid's 18. Grody.
No. He's the kids who follow Andrew Tate are all about that age. If you are not familiar with Andrew Tate, we're going to introduce you.
I don't know how you would know him, but okay.
I think it's important, especially if you have younger sons or younger grandsons. I bet you can ask them and they'll know who Andrew Tate is.
Oh, God, yeah.
But Andrew Tate and his brother back in the U.S. From Romania, apparently courtesy of some pressure from the Trump administration. So when we're talking about all the best people, I think it's important that we look at one of the latest ones.
The reverberation of all the best people.
All the best people. Don't tell me that they care about women. Anyway, in hour number two after that, we will lighten things up as we always do for the last half hour of the show. I'm calling this looking for clocks in all the wrong places. Do we need clocks in public anymore?
Oh, you're about to set a firestorm off with a certain subsect of the population.
Well, I'm just curious. I had a personal experience with this when I had to serve jury duty in Milwaukee County a couple of weeks ago. So do we need clocks in public places? That will be at 11:33. And we will wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Hanky Spanky edition. Stick around for that. Right now, though, I wanted to start off with Brad Schimmel, of course, running for Supreme Court against Susan Crawford. Those emotional women, Greg.
I said that I believe that the vote alone was bad enough, but now you want to serve as judges? My goodness.
Dane County Judge Susan Crawford said on Friday she was surprised her opponent, this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Waukesha County Judge Brad Schimmel has started attacking Wisconsin's sitting Supreme Court justices. In case you missed it, Brad Schimmel was in a radio interview in which she suggested several members of Wisconsin's Supreme Court are driven by their emotions. During a November hearing about the abortion ban in Wisconsin, the 1849 banning most abortions in Wisconsin, all four liberal justices are women.
And shockingly had opinions.
They did, which they said out loud. Schimmel, again in this radio interview, said they are being driven by their emotions. A Supreme Court justice had better be able to set aside their personal opinions and emotions and rule on the law objectively. This is, we don't have that objectivity on this court. Then he narrowed it down to Justice Jill Karofsky, who said she was yelling and lost control of her emotions during oral arguments.
Jill Karofsky. That name rings a bell, Jane. Let me do a little research real quick.
Okay. The four liberal justices came out with a joint statement on Brad Schimmel's remarks. Quote, unfortunately, Brad Schimmel is showing he has an antiquated and distorted view of women, unquote. Karofsky declined to comment further after she was singled out by Brad Schimmel. At stake in this election, April 1st, and we talk about this all of the time, about how important this is, the April 1st election tends to be a very, very low turnout election.
Yes.
We need to change that.
Yes, we do.
And have a big, big turnout for voters on April 1st. If Brad Schimmel is elected to the Wisconsin Supreme Court, the conservatives will once again take over. It's only been a year since it flipped back to the liberal, or is it two years?
It's been two years
since Jada Protasiewicz was elected.
It's been a little over about a year and a half, and they'll take office at the 2-year mark. And all of that good work being done.
The fairer maps we just got will be gone.
Yeah.
And we will have that 1849 abortion ban.
And, And we'll start all over again. And all of those people who got voted out this last election, November, will probably be coming back in, or some version of them.
Even a worse version of them.
Will be coming back in because they have to, because they'll have the, you know, we won, we did it, and they can do even less. The reason why I was looking up Justice Karofsky, I thought she was the one that Justice Prosser strangled years ago back in the...
Oh, no, different justice.
Yeah, that was Justice Ann Bradley.
Right.
When Justice Prosser, who in no emotional rage at all attempted to strangle
another. Not being ruled by his emotions.
No, not one bit. Those men, we rule with our heads.
Right.
You know, when I want to strangle one of my colleagues, it's like that's a thought I have. I'm like, I go through all, it's like chess. Yeah. So like, I have to strangle this person. No, not at all. Justice Prosser, totally level-headed thinking, doing what you did.
Well, and then I started thinking about Judge Gableman.
Well, also,
who was on the Supreme Court.
And I think of someone like Justice Kelly, who was on the Supreme Court, who when he lost, when he was running, was also just an unhinged monster. He was so, so dark. And then that speech, the concession speech, not emotional at all.
No, not at all.
No.
Men completely in control of their emotions at all times.
We don't go to therapy and we get things done, Jane.
In case you've forgotten, Michael Gableman, just as a little reminder, falsely accused the Wisconsin Elections Commission Administrator Megan Wolf and other officials in 5 Wisconsin cities of trying to cover up how election grants were used. Those were the Zuckerbucks. Gableman also violated attorney ethics rules by talking about private conversations with Robin Voss. The complaint cites 2 videos Michael Gableman was in where he supported the recall against Voss. Gableman also practiced law while he was working. Again, in case you've forgotten, Robin Voss hired Michael Gableman to find non-existent voter fraud in Wisconsin. That non-existent proof cost us, the taxpayers, over $2 million because Michael Gableman didn't find anything. But he was apparently steadfast enough, a good enough guy, Greg, for Robin Voss to hire him.
I want to also mention the weirdest thing he did, which shows, you know, he's a very level-headed thinker. Mr. Gableman, Judge Gableman, my apologies, former Judge Gableman. He drove all the way to Waukesha and demanded that they arrest the mayors of Green Bay and Madison. That's the level-headed thinking of a totally with-it person.
During a hearing before a Dane County Circuit judge on whether he had inadvertently, whoopsie, destroyed records, Gableman accused the judge from the witness stand of railroading him into jail. He was also heard on a microphone while the court was in recess making sarcastic comments about an attorney, a female attorney, about her ability to do her job without the judge's help. Gableman was ultimately found in contempt of court for not complying with open records laws. But again, he's a man. He's fine. That's fine. It's all good.
We have outbursts, Jane. Sometimes we punch walls, and sometimes we try to get local officials arrested via the cops. It's fine, Jane. I think all this goes back to the fact that Brad Schimmel is running for office. He's running for the highest court in the land. It is a nonpartisan race. In name only.
Ostensibly.
But the group to which he aligns himself is full of all these non-stable individuals. So
with very extreme views.
And we could you could be saying, like, well, why are you talking about all these other people? Let's bring it back to Brad Schimmel. Brad Schimmel's opinion on abortion, the 1849 abortion law.
It's a good thing.
It's not flawed. Where is the flaw, he asks? Yep. Where is the flaw in that?
Perfectly fine.
And when he wants to talk about abortion access, when he wants to talk about that topic, he brings up his daughters. He has two beautiful adopted daughters.
Which is lovely. That's
wonderful.
Lovely.
I love that they had that choice. But that is not what we are talking about here. This is an individual's situation. They chose that path. Great. Two young ladies have a family.
It's wonderful.
But that's not what we've been talking about now. We've been talking about these terrible situations like Laurel, who came to the show 2 weeks ago to talk about what she went through, and something like the 1849 abortion ban that affected her directly.
There's a lot of money in the Supreme Court race. Elon Musk, very, very invested in Wisconsin Supreme Court race, and I think I might have found out why. We'll have all the details on the other side. Stay close. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Box, Sweet Cal B. Coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. You can call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up after the 1033 news, Corey Hartman will be joining us. He is the Vice President of Radio Operations here at Civic Media. And he also owns a company called Severe.
Storms.
Storms. Thank you. That's what it's called. Studio. Severe Studios. It's called Severe Studios. Where he last
Severe
summer,
Susan.
Yeah, it's a severe thing. Corey Hartman going to be joining us. The Trump administration has fired almost 2,000 people now from NOAA, which affects forecasting not just around this country, but around the world.
Yeah.
They kind of share that data, you know. But what's this going to mean for us if NOAA gets privatized? So Corey Hartman will be joining us after the 10:30 news. I hope you can stick around for that. We're going to continue our conversation. We were talking about Brad Schimmel, commemorative coin fan, by the way.
Yes.
Commemorative coin fan Brad Schimmel saying that the liberal justices on the Wisconsin Supreme Court, They're so emotional. They're just ruled by their emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's terrible, apparently. I did want to share this. Jim from Appleton, listening on WISS in Oshkosh. Every time I hear a misogynistic remark like that, I think someone should play Gorsuch crying at his hearings. That's a good point, Jim. And it was actually Brett Kavanaugh who cried like a baby.
Poorly, too. Like it was like a, I like beer.
I like beer.
How dare you make fun of me? How dare you tell the truth about my past?
Please tell me how overly emotional women are and look at that tape from Brett Kavanaugh during his hearing to be on the Supreme Court, by the way, in which he lied and said that Roe was already a precedent and established law. But anyway, we don't have time for that. Jack from Miramax says, I'd rather have a justice who has some emotions like empathy, for example, than one who's clearly trying to buy a seat on the court by taking millions of bribes. Whoops, I mean donations from a citizen of three different countries. That brings us to this. Elon Musk is pouring well over $2 million, has already poured over $2 million into the Supreme Court race in Wisconsin. One wonders, is it just because he's so concerned about Wisconsin and our justice system?
He loves freedom.
He does. Joe Schultz from Wisconsin Public Radio has an article on today's WPR as Musk pours millions into Wisconsin's Supreme Court race. Tesla files a case that could reach those justices. No. You mean he has a vested financial interest in making sure that the Wisconsin Supreme Court might back his company? I'm shocked.
Well, hold on. Let me just take this one, Jane. If he does win, then Brad Schimmel, then of course he'll just recuse himself.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because that's what a good justice does. And that's, after all, what they were suggesting when Janet Protasiewicz simply called the maps rigged. Their hair was on fire for months. But between this and abortion, he's going to have to he would have to recuse himself from two major cases.
Last year, Wisconsin denied Tesla's request for dealer licenses, saying Tesla didn't qualify for an exemption to a state law that prohibits the maker from owning the dealership.
Yeah.
The company wanted to convert its galleries in Madison and Milwaukee into dealerships, with plans for additional dealerships in Glendale and Fox Cities. Tesla filed a petition for a judicial review in January, a hearing set for later this month on whether or not the case should stay in Outagamie or move to Dane or Milwaukee County. The case could, hypothetically, make its way up to the Wisconsin Supreme Court. Yeah. If Tesla does not accept the circuit court's decision, it could appeal the case to the Wisconsin Court of Appeals. After that, the state Supreme Court would choose whether or not to take the case. So this is, in my estimation, this seems like a pretty good reason for Elon to be in investing millions into Wisconsin Supreme Court race, because there's an outcome that he needs.
Yes.
Right?
And right now he's riding high on popularity with certain individuals, so why not? They don't know that information, but now you know. It's not about freedom. It's about
Tesla.
Terrible cars.
Yeah, it's about Tesla. Musk's money. Nobody cares about this money, by the way.
Yeah.
When it was Zuckerbucks.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. And the money that Mark Zuckerberg gave in grants to communities that applied for them.
A different version of Mark Zuckerberg, by the way.
Yeah, completely different version. Yeah. In order to help them carry out the elections.
Yeah.
This is just funding ads against Susan Crawford.
Correct.
So it's not the same thing.
No.
At all.
No.
Musk's money has helped tip the funding scales in Brad Schimmel's favor. And yes, it comes as Tesla is suing Wisconsin over a decision preventing Tesla from opening dealerships in Wisconsin.
But don't worry, folks. Brad Schimmel has said on the record he is not for sale.
And we know he's not emotional. He's a slow, steady, non-emotional kind of, he's not ruled by his emotions.
Nope, Brad. Not one bit.
Can rest easy with that one.
Thank goodness.
We will include the links to these articles in our show notes if you would like to look further. We don't just pick this stuff out of the sky.
Nope.
Go to civicmedia.us, Click on shows at the very top. Go to Matinee on Air, and that will take you to at least 100 prior episodes of our program. You can also subscribe.
You can download those shows, and then you can go to your favorite podcast distribution center of choice and subscribe to this show as a podcast. Drops 2 episodes a day. 3 episodes if you count This Shouldn't Be a Thing. You got tons of listening to do.
And it's free.
It's all... I'm against this, but it's all free. I think we should charge them a
small stipend.
Wet my beak.
There we go. News is coming up next. When we come back, Corey Hartman will be here, and we're going to talk all things Noah and why this matters to all of us. Stay with us. You were listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Box, Sweet Calby on the board, coming to you live from our studio here at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder, join Maggie Dawn today, 2 to 4 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network. She's going to be speaking with Professor Lowell Barrington from Marquette. They're going to talk about the Trump-Zelensky Oval Office meeting on Friday. Oof. Hour number 2, Maggie will talk with Greta Bedovkovics from the Center for American Progress about the SAVE Act. And this is something that we talked about well before the election, especially for married women.
Yes.
This could prove problematic. It's not good.
No.
And it's yet another effort to suppress the vote.
Yep.
This time, it looks like they're kind of aiming at married women. They don't like women voting. We're too emotional,
Greg.
You
can just leave it at they don't like women. Stop there.
There's that, too. Next hour at this time, we will lighten it up as we always do. We're going to kick around whether or not we need clocks in public. Burning issue of the day. We will wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, the Hanky Spanky edition, so stay tuned for that. Right now, though, we are joined by Civic Media's Vice President of Broadcast Operations and also the owner of Severe Studios. Corey Hartman is joining us on the phone. Good morning, Corey. Thanks for making time for us. How you doing?
Good morning.
Well, I wanted to have you here after I saw this headline. I was off on Friday, but this is certainly still very important. This from the Washington Post. Trump fires hundreds of people at NOAA and the National Weather Service. The terminations happen before a potential severe weather outbreak in the southeastern U.S. and only months ahead of the next Atlantic hurricane season. Now, Corey, I said before you joined us that you are also the owner of Severe Studios, which is you're a storm chaser, right?
Storm chaser, a forecaster, you know, albeit amateur forecaster. I do it for a living at times, but I don't have a degree, and I personally rely a lot on the National Weather Service to give me the data that I need, the information that I need, the modeling data, the computers and the satellites and all of those things belong to NOAA and the National Weather Service. And a lot of that stuff in the private sector is just repackaged government data.
Right.
So I use it to, help my forecasts and figure out where to go and keep people safe and do the storm chasing thing. But also on a daily basis, I do weather for 75 radio stations across the upper Midwest. And without the National Weather Service, it would be very, very hard to do my job.
Well, as you said, Corey, NOAA and the National Weather Service are the ones who have the models from, and that's how you base your forecast. You're looking at what has happened in the past, correct?
Looking at what's happening now and what's happened in the past, and then the computer models spit out what's going to happen in the future, and we're telling the future, you know, and it's not an exact science yet, but in the last decade, we've gone from really where the forecast is not good more than 2, maybe 3 days out to where your 6 or 7 day forecast is actually pretty reliable.
Yeah.
When I did TV weather about 12 years ago, the 5th, 6th, and 7th panels on the screen in the graphics were just kind of a guess, to be dead honest with you. It was based a little bit on climatology. It was based a little bit on, you know, there's 1 or 2 long range models, but nowadays we are really, really lucky, that the growth and the advancement that the National Weather Service has done with the forecasting models, and there's more parts of NOAA. There are satellite divisions. There are modeling divisions. There's the National Weather Service, which is your local forecast. There's the Storm Prediction Center in Norman, Oklahoma, which is what issues the tornado watches and severe thunderstorm watches. And those are critically important. And I can't stress enough how important that division is to NOAA as a whole.
Well, this is something that we are all so dependent on, even if you don't realize it, right? It's, you know, you're going camping for the weekend. You check the forecast. You're going to travel somewhere. You check the forecast. It's part of our daily lives that we've just been, I don't know what the right word is, Corey. It's part of the fabric, right? And and we get it for free.
It's part of the fabric, and most people don't even realize it, right? They don't know because they get it on their iPhone or they get it on some app or something, but 98% of that data flows from the National Weather Service or from NOAA free over satellite. If you have the right receiver and the right satellite, you can pick it up at home if you want. Yeah. And that's the thing that people don't know is that the private sector is really repackaging a lot of that and honestly making a lot of money off of no cost of entry.
Well, what would it cost, Corey, for a small owner like you mm-hmm. to take on the data collection that these government agencies are doing? It just seems to me like that would be price prohibitive.
There's no possible way to match what the National Weather Service does. I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there are something like 12 or 14,000 airport weather monitoring systems that are automated that are across the country that do the temperature and the humidity and all of those things. There's like 10 or 12 parameters at each one of these locations. And that is the main data that goes into the computer forecasting models. And without that, without the balloon launches, I mean, they still do a physical balloon launch. They put a sensor on the end of a string and a gigantic balloon gets launched multiple times a day. And we're talking, you know, the other day, the winds were blowing, 45, 50 miles an hour?
Yep.
And you should see these interns and people that go out there and just about get blown into the next field to launch these gigantic weather balloons so they can go into the upper levels of the atmosphere. And that's the part other people forget, too, is that weather is 3D. It goes miles and miles and miles into space. And what happens up above affects what happens down below. And so we have to measure that. And without that data, without those people, it's really, really hard.
The Trump administration let go meteorologists, hydrologists, and technicians that help inform daily weather forecasts. This is out of the Washington Post. We do have a comment on the live stream from Andrew who says, as I understand it, NOAA is being replaced by the weather rock. If it's wet, it's raining. If it's white, if it's snowing. If it's hot, it's sunny. If it's missing, it's a hurricane.
Tornado or hurricane.
Yeah. There you go. Yes.
That's perfect, Andrew.
Yes, and we use the weather rock. I mean, there were times where I did weather, I didn't even have a window, right? I had to look at a sky cam or something. But I like the weather rock, and that tells you what's happening now.
Right, but where you are, yes.
Yeah, see if that weather rock could tell you what's going to happen 6 days from now. Yeah.
John from Hubertus also texting in, I've been to storm school maybe 10 times. How would these cuts affect Sky Warren and weather balloons that you were just talking about, Corey?
Oh, man, that's the direct thing. So usually the warning coordination meteorologist or the meteorologist in charge at the National Weather Service are the ones that will put together the list of Sky Warn spotter training every spring. And we're coming into spring right now. There's a, like you said, a tornado outbreak that's probably going to happen tomorrow down south. I've got storm chasers heading that direction right now. And without the training, without the, you know, here's what a wall cloud looks like, here's what a tornado actually looks like, and without training the spotters, the volunteers that go out and sit on the west side of your county so that your sirens can go off when the tornado's coming, there's no training. That won't happen. They will be too busy backfilling other positions to worry about spotter training, and that would probably, if I was running a National Weather Service office with staff cuts, unfortunately, that would be one of the first things that I would cut.
Well, and that's the thing too, Corey, is that it seems like all of these cuts and job eliminations that are happening and will be happening are just to force the issue of saying, well, we can't really do it, so let's just let the private sector come in here and they have all the money. They can take care. It's one more thing off our plate. Zoom, burn. The chainsaw has worked again, but that's really the pathway here is to make it so weak and so incapable of doing its job to say sell it for parts.
I would say that would be great, but then we cut off the data feed to AccuWeather or whoever in the private sector is, you know, they're one of the biggest ones that are pushing it. College Park, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. They've been pushing it for years and years to basically dismantle the public weather forecasting industry, if you will.
Yeah.
And they really want that to be 100% private. But then if they want it to be 100% private, they get 0% public data. And let's see how they can do it, because they don't have their own weather balloons and
right.
weather sensors. They might have a few what are called PWS stations, personal weather stations, but those are not calibrated. They can be put up by Joe in the backyard, and none of it really is good. So let's see how good their forecasts are if we don't give them our data.
Well, and that's my other concern, is that if they don't have access to that, If they are the main holders of the weather, they then go to the government and say, we need subsidies to get this to do these things. All those
yes.
people that you fired, will hire them for less
sure.
money.
Yes.
And they can do all this stuff. And then we're subsidizing private weather and wasting money.
It's similar to what happens with airlines and multitudes of other things where we subsidize the private industry when we already are doing an excellent job. Everybody wants to say, well, they get paid for being wrong 50% of the time or whatever. And that's funny. I get that. Mm-hmm. You know, that's a chuckle. But honestly, as mentioned before, not only are we more accurate more days out, but we are more accurate on a percentage basis of sky condition, temperature, if it's going to rain or not. The skill has come so far. Even just in the last decade. I mean, you think of the advances in all sciences, especially medical right now, but the science of weather has gone into overdrive in the last decade. Dual polarity radars, where we can literally tell if it's a raindrop or a hailstone before it falls. You know, the modeling, the just all of it. I don't want to get super geeky.
Sure.
But it's so much further along than even it was 10 years ago. But now people are getting stuff from apps that have no human involvement. So it's just straight, you know, computer data being pushed out to your app with no oversight, no meteorologist even seeing it. And, you know, that is not going to be as accurate as a person who knows the local area and knows the weather patterns in the local area and looks at the data and looks for trends in the data. Well, because that's what we look at to figure out how much snow there's going to be. Did this storm move south, north? Is it coming in faster, slower? Is there more snow now? Is there less snow? The trends are really what makes a human meteorologist put out a forecast.
Well, and again, it's more than just looking out the window saying, it's sunny, it's all good here.
Yeah.
Brian from Milwaukee, I see you on the line. We are up against the break. We will take you first when we come back. Stay with us. Corey Hartman is our guest, the Vice President of Broadcast Operations here at Civic, and also the owner of Severe Studios. We're talking about all the cuts at NOAA and what that means for us. You're listening to Matt and Air on Air. Stay close. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Dr. Slide on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, or the platform shedding more users than a molting parrot. Corey Hartman is our guest. He's the Vice President of Broadcast Operations here at Civic and also the owner of Severe Studios, which follows weather and storm chasers and all those things. And we're talking about all the firings at NOAA. And Brian from Milwaukee has been very, very patient on the phone. Thank you for waiting, Brian. What'd you want to say?
Oh, not a problem. Good morning.
Good morning.
Yeah, I have a friend that went to UWM Milwaukee for meteorology. And I was asked them one day, I said, what's the most, you know, trusted local news channel to watch? And she said, I know it's going to sound shocking. She said, none of them. And I said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, in meteorology, we get everything from the National Weather Service, and so do they. That's where everything stems from. And it's the truth. And, you know, just like Corey said, you know, they got thousands upon thousands upon thousands of data. And then think about, you know, the disservice that would happen if the National Weather Service is cut as far as safety is concerned with hurricane season and Tornado Alley and everything else. I mean, here in Wisconsin, we got, what, how many tornadoes a year do we have? I mean, even in winter, which is unheard of. And, you know, I don't think people understand what the National Weather Service does. They even help with educating, you know, teachers in the schools. There's a great page on their site called Jetstream, which is like an online course that anyone can take. Mm-hmm. It's free.
Yeah.
With videos and questions and study guides and stuff like that. So the National Weather Service does a lot more than what people think.
Yes.
And my friend told me about an app that syncs with the National Weather Service. And I open it up because I use public transit to get around Milwaukee. I don't have a car.
Sure.
So I depend on knowing what the weather's going to do. And the nice thing is I can open up that app right before I leave. And it pinpoints the accuracy of my location and gives me an accurate forecast.
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate you checking in. Again, we don't appreciate just how big of a role this plays in our life every day.
Yeah.
We really don't.
Absolutely. And Corey, something I wanted to talk to you about really quick was, and on top of what Brian was saying, and we get a text message from, I believe it was Jim in Brookfield, who mentioned the age-old Sharpie Gate, where the president, the now president back then, redrew the lines of where
the hurricane was supposed to land.
Part of the reason why we have these individuals in such good positions, they are scientists, they are experts, they are going to give their undaunted opinion, they are going to be fair and honest. With where we're going now, it's not going to be about reporting, and we're going to talk and reporting the best weather, because weather, of course, leads up to the conversation of climate change. We are going to have people in place who are going to discuss the terms of weather and whatever NOAA and the NWS has to offer in terms of messaging in the Trump White House, not of just, hey, a hurricane's coming to Florida. Here's the area. Here's what's going to happen. It's going to be, how do we get this information to the people? But it also has to merge with a message from the White House of how great and powerful the man behind the curtain is.
Certainly, there are employees of the National Weather Service that have opinions on the administration. But the number one thing that I have always heard from them is that when they are putting out forecasts, they don't look at political boundaries. They don't take their personal feelings into account. It is and should be, yes, one of the most apolitical things out there. And it seems like it's sometimes the rest of us, the royal us of the United States, that are trying to make it into a political thing. And you can get into climate change. That becomes political real quick.
Yeah.
And all I can do, I said the last time I joined you guys, was that I have seen in today, by the way, is the 18th anniversary of severestudios.com.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So in 18 years of watching severe weather march across the United States. And when I started, I thought, okay, yeah, it's, you know, basically March through August and it's over. No, we get tornadoes all the time, mm-hmm, in the United States. So we get a little break around Christmas, and that's about it, you,
yeah,
know, and maybe early, because we've chased tornadoes on Christmas Day before down in the South. So it should be apolitical, but I've seen a gigantic change in where the tornadoes are. The space between the outbreaks is greater. The location is different. And then when the tornadoes come, they're stronger.
One last text I wanted to share with you. Doug here from Green Bay. I love your show. Thank you so much, Doug. I was a meteorologist for 23 years, mostly in Green Bay. Another important role of the National Weather Service: soil moisture measurements, drought monitoring for agriculture. All businesses that work outside of it, like roofing contractors, concrete guys, yeah, builders, we rely on these forecasts. It's crucially important.
So important for the ag sector.
Yes.
I mean, you know, when to plant, what to do, when, you know, how many growing days, all of those things. There's a reason that it's under the Department of Commerce. And that's one of the main reasons, is because it affects agriculture.
Corey Hartman is the Vice President of Broadcast Operations here at Civic Media. Also, the owner of severestudios.com. Check it out when there's storms in Wisconsin. They do a great job. By the way, Corey, I was accused a couple of weeks ago when it got so super cold of being a liberal and telling people to bundle up, because only Democrats think we have to remind people to bundle up. So apparently that makes every meteorologist in the country is a Democrat. And also to that texter, I just want to point out, we put warning labels on frozen pizza boxes, so bite me. Corey Hartman,
wow,
thank you. Really appreciate it, my friend.
Thank you.
Take care. News is coming up next. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.